Independent Radio Music there live from Duran Duran, and I have to sneak in here and say that I had a much better weekend than Alabama and Auburn fans did. I flew on an airplane, I went to Denver, Colorado to Red Rocks and saw that band live with my girlfriend. Now that was kind of cool, wasn't it? Duran Duran out of the 80s. Made us all feel much younger.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
So I guess I could have said that myself, but then why are we paying the announcer guy, right? So welcome to Live 95. This is Tuesday. It's 4 o'clock this time every week. We do a little program called Sports Talk Live. It's brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank. We appreciate them for that. If you have a local business and you'd like to be part of Sports Talk Live, or even if you're a new franchise in town that, I don't know, might sell buffalo wings or something, we'd like to hear from you. Send us a message. Studio at live95coleman.com or visit our Facebook page. Your hosts for Sports Talk Live, I will be holding their hands and counseling them today. Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay. Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk Live. And the sun is out, Ronnie. The sun is shining, even though both teams went down.
That's exactly right. Hey, the sun came up Sunday morning. It was a beautiful day. You know, neither one of us wanted Saturday night or Saturday afternoon to turn out like it did, but we don't have any control over that.
That's right. It did, and the last time I checked, it didn't make any difference in my paycheck. It did make a little difference in my money, but not... paycheck.
Not substantial, huh?
Extracurricular activities.
That's right.
For entertainment purposes only.
That's right. The key phrase.
It was
for entertainment.
Dark day until the Alabama game. And Alabama game. Brought me back on the map. So, boy,
it was not a
running. A lot to talk about today. A
lot to talk about. Got, you know, of course, we got our local sports and those kind of things to talk about. But hey, Jason, he's talking about Alabama and Auburn. You know, they both lost Saturday. And I saw something that I want to run by you here. It has been 94 of the past 95 Sundays, okay? 94 of the past 95 Sundays, either Alabama or Auburn won on Saturday, one of the two. This is the first time since I think November the 10th, 2012, when both teams lost on the same day. What about that?
Yeah, I didn't know how long it had been. Yeah. I knew it had been a while.
Been a long time since 2012.
This is one of those once in a blue moon.
That's right, and we don't want it to happen very often.
It will happen again November 7th, I think is the date.
Okay.
Mark your calendars.
November the 7th, it'll happen again.
Let me look. I think I looked at that.
Are you saying that's the first time it may happen?
I think that's the first real chance both of them loses on the same day.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'm going to have to...
That's all right.
Pull this up real quick, Ronnie, while...
Yeah.
Maybe do some local stuff here while I'm looking this
up. I sure will. Hey, as we always have, we've got some local volleyball that's taking place. We've got Fauntville, Cordova. They're both at Cold Springs. That's another one of those tri-matches. Coleman is at Decatur. Holly Pond and West Point are at Fairview. And Vimont is at St. Bernard. So plenty of time, even though, you know, it's 4 o'clock, you've got plenty of time to go catch some good girls volleyball, especially when you have Fauntville and Cordova at Cold Springs and you have Holly Pond and West Point at Fairview. So those will be going on for quite a while. Those tri-matches do not end in a early time frame. So if you get a chance, go out and watch some local volleyball that's taking place. I know they would appreciate it, and the administrators would too if you donate your $3 to get in. Help pay for the officials at volleyball. We'd say probably you may not take in enough to pay for the officials. Our umpires. Which one is it in volleyball?
I think it's officials.
It's officials, okay.
Yeah. And I'm having Alabama on that date, Ronnie, plays, let's see, LSU. Now,
yeah.
I've got to find Auburn. I'm pretty sure this is the date. LSU, and I think that may be Auburn and Georgia
Okay.
weekend.
So. I think you're right. We can look at
If so, that's the next time. Both teams
lose. Both teams could lose, or you are predicting right now.
No, they're going to lose.
Okay. Both teams will lose.
Alabama, though, I think has a better chance of beating LSU than Auburn has of beating Georgia.
I would agree with that.
Alabama does not have a better chance of beating Georgia than Auburn. I think Auburn and Alabama both inferior this year.
You don't think Alabama has a better chance to beat Georgia?
No, I think they're getting beat.
Yeah, but do they have a better chance than Auburn?
But if they have no chance, it's not a better chance.
Well, if you've got 1% chance, it's better than zero.
But they don't have 1%.
Oh.
Well, maybe they got 1%. They probably got a better chance of beating Auburn. I mean, beating Georgia than Auburn
From
does.
What we've seen so far, they've got a better chance to win every game than what Auburn
they
has.
They do, but Alabama's not going to win every game. Alabama's not going to be in the playoffs. Auburn sure as heck is not going to be in the playoffs. You're looking at a 3-loss team and probably a 5 or 6-loss team.
Would you have ever imagined that we'd be sitting here saying Auburn may lose as many as 6 to 7 games? I don't think they'll lose 7 games. I really don't, in my heart of hearts, don't think they'll lose 6.
Ronnie, if they win 6, they don't even go to a bowl game because the Jacksonville State game.
There's no question.
It can be counted once every so many years, and I'm sure that's been accounted for somewhere.
Absolutely.
Already, so.
It's just bad.
It is bad. It is a bad year for football in the state of Alabama.
And
2 years in a row, the Ole Miss Rebels take Alabama down.
That's right.
And that LSU never, pays back Auburn.
That has never happened.
Basically the same way Auburn beat them last year.
Yeah.
LSU thrashed Auburn Saturday.
Yeah.
And they're paying Will Muschamp $1.6 million.
Yeah.
They're not getting their money's worth.
No, and you've got the stats over there as – that we'll get into.
Like pee-wee tackling, jumping on people's backs. And throwing
jumping over him.
Yeah.
Hey, if they'd left Fournette in, he'd have had 350 yards easily.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Because he didn't play but about half of the third quarter. It was. And I know we got plenty of that to get to and those kind of things. But let's go over, Jason, our high school teams this past week. Cold Springs lost to Fayetteville. You picked Cold Springs and I picked Fayetteville. I'm one up on you right there. Etowah defeated Fairview and we both picked Etowah, so I'm still up one on you. Both of us picked Coleman and they defeated Austin, so I'm still up one on you. Good Hope defeated J.B. Pennington. You took J.B. Pennington, and I took Good Hope.
So I'm two up on you
Right off the bat. Both of us picked Addison to beat Hansville, and they did. Both of us picked Susan Moore to beat Holly Pond, and they did. And both of us picked Winfield to beat Vimont, and they did. And both of us picked West Point to beat Pope John Paul, and they did. So I believe I got them all right, and you missed two.
What about that? Now you've evened it out.
I've evened it out because you did that to me earlier in the year. So those are the games from this past week in our high school football. And while we're mentioning that next week, Jason, I'll mention who everybody's playing this Friday, and then we probably do it again at the end of the show to give everybody who may have missed it now a chance to know where they might want to go Friday night to watch a ball game. So this coming Friday night, which will be September the 25th, Cold Springs will be at Vinemont. Coleman will be home against Fayette County. Fairview will be away at Holly Pond Good Hope will be at home against Curry. Hansville will be on the road at West Point. And that's it. So we got several county rival games this week. So those are the games for this Friday night. Go out, support those football teams and those band programs. Spend your $5 to get into whichever game you choose, and then spend some money at concession stand to help the band.
That's it.
Because very expensive.
Spend them dollars.
That's right.
$5 bills, $10 bills, $20 bills. You're going to have to get a $20 bill out if you're going.
Yes, you are.
You're taking somebody with you.
Because it's going to cost you $3 or $4 or $5 to park. before you ever.
Boy, that is a rip now.
I knew that was going to get you going.
I could get on the soapbox about that.
I knew when I mentioned that.
Now, you have been, let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
We don't really have time to get into the Auburn, Alabama with 6 minutes before a break.
So you want to complain about schools charging to park?
Yeah, I want to know. I want to ask for the people that's listening that are thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. You were an administrator at a school.
Yeah.
And here in the county.
That's right.
All right. If a school charges to park, are they not responsible for that vehicle?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to say no.
Okay. I would think if they charge to park, if you go
to a college game, are they responsible for the parking?
Well, not if you park at somebody waving you to park on the street, but I don't know when it comes down to a paid lot. I don't know.
I don't think. Whomever, just like if you go to a, you know, let's just say throw out a hospital, you know, you'll see signs not responsible for anything damaged, blah, 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 to your vehicle. So I don't think they are.
The reason I say this, I was told by a school board member, Coleman County school board member, some years back, that the school could not do that and not accept liability for the vehicle.
Now, I don't know either because...
At the time you were there, Valmont
didn't
do it.
We didn't do it.
Right.
We didn't.
Does Valmont do it now?
Yes.
Everybody pretty much.
Everybody does it, as far as I know now. You know, it started out where. Here's what happened. You had one school that started it. Okay. Then you had the people. Let's say I'm at Valmont, and we happen to go to. And I'm just making this up. Okay. So this is not. this is not fact. I'm just making it up. Valmont goes to, let's say, West Point and plays. Okay, and we go over there, and we have to pay to park. Well, you know what I hear the next day?
Right.
When they come to our place, they're going to pay to park just like we paid to park. And that's where it all kind of got started, and that's where it snowballed from. So once one started doing it, it wasn't long until, you know, two was doing it, three was doing it, and then everybody was paying to park. Now, is it a good fundraiser? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you're mighty right.
I mean, it's a good fundraiser, and usually... I don't know. A lot of them, they will split it among their spring sports. I know some do that. You know, they'll take the proceeds and give part of it baseball, part of it softball, however else they want. You know, however they want to divide it. And the reason for that is those sports usually don't generate enough income to, many times, to carry their own. You know, carry their own expense. So football is having to cover for one, and basketball is having to cover for the other. Sometimes. Every school is different.
Does the school allow to keep all that money, or is any of it divided up into the county, go into a county fund?
No, schools keep none of that goes to the county office.
If it don't get into the county, then we...
No, it does not go to the county. Yeah. Every dime of that stays with each individual high school, as I know it.
And most people probably now...
They're used to doing it.
Yeah, they don't have any problem with it.
That's
when that first started.
I know it was. People have jumping into
school
bed. And in reality, Jason, you do not have to pay that. That is a donation. You can just drive right on in and park.
Boy, you would be known as the...
I know. But I'm just saying, it is a donation. You know, they can't, you know, hold you to paying the $3 to park.
That's
or
like these,
whatever.
Car wash, you know, just for a donation.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
but you go get your car washed. Don't give them. Don't give them
$5 or $10. See how that works out for you. But that's kind of the story of charging to park. However, we got on that, I have no idea.
I don't know, but it's better than Auburn, Alabama football.
It's better than the reality.
Hey,
isn't it?
Let me make this announcement. This is newsworthy.
Newsworthy information.
And we will play the clip a little later on.
This is hot off the press.
Auburn has named Sean White. Coach Gus Malzahn has named Sean White the starting quarterback this Saturday versus Mississippi State at Auburn.
Hot off the press.
And we're going to talk about Jeremy Johnson and his problems in depth, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on Jeremy Johnson and how this come about. And this is just, like you said about the parking, this is just my thoughts.
Right. But I remember what your comments were before they ever started playing this year about Jeremy Johnson.
Oh, I do too. I dropped the Kool-Aid straight down.
Yes, you did.
In fact, I was probably one of the ones serving the Kool-Aid.
Because
I saw him play last year. I saw the film of him in high school.
Yeah.
and he looked like everything that Auburn needed. So,
somebody has kidnapped the real Jeremy Johnson. There's an imposter in Auburn.
Boy, he and Ronnie, let's just say that for later. I can go on for several minutes about this.
I got you.
Reading the message board here, we have two mega passes to give away to the fair, so we'll think of a way to give them away. How about a trivia question?
Two mega passes.
Right.
What's a mega pass, I wonder?
I think that gets
you in. Is that for multiple nights?
Yeah, correct us if we're wrong. Is that multiple nights anytime you want to go, pretty much?
I believe it's carte blanche for anything. Good. Any one day covers admission coming into the fair, and you get to ride any ride.
Okay, but it's just for one day, though?
Just for one day.
Is it riding anything you want to ride plus anything you want to eat?
Don't believe it covers food unless
your money's going to take it if it's eats.
unless you're buying the food for me, then I believe that's covered.
There you go. Jason, get him some cotton
Tommy
candy.
Tommy Warhurst brings those by to give away. Thanks, Tommy.
Absolutely.
We'll come up with a trivia question, and we're not going to give it out ahead of time. So.
Yeah. And I do believe, Jay, you can correct me if I'm wrong with this, that Tommy is the MC for the high school Fair Queen page. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the MC last year the tiny ones, I know, because I was there that night.
Tommy does quite a bit of things behind the scenes.
I thought he was doing it now because Doug Doggett did it for years and years. And then he hung up his microphone, and I think he passed that torch on to Tommy.
I believe you're correct.
Yep.
All right, it's close enough to take a break. Jay, if you'll take us away, let me give the number 256-737-9505. If you want to take a shot at winning two mega passes, good for any day, to the Coleman County Fair, Jay says you can ride anything you want to ride.
There you go.
Admission's covered. You just go enjoy yourself. Give us a call, 737-9505. You will be asked to answer a trivia question. So give us a call. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388. Hey, Coleman. The Live 95 Battle of the Band series has returned thanks to the support from the Coleman Lions Club. Join us this Saturday at the Coleman County Fair Entertainment Tent to see a whole new group of bands perform. Or, as usual with our Battle of the Bands events, tune into the whole thing right here on 95.5 FM. Come join us starting at 2 p.m. at the Coleman County Fairgrounds to see performances from Crystal Hills, Michael Cannon, Matt Graves, Southern Stitches, and more. Special thanks to the Coleman County Fair for supporting local music right here in Coleman. See you there, and thanks for listening to Coleman's Independent Radio, Live 95.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Four 21 back with you, Sports Talk Live. Ronnie going to run down some headlines, and then we're going to dive neck deep into first Auburn and then Alabama. And I'm going to prove to
you
why
Alabama
is the second worst team in the state.
Who is?
Alabama.
Is the second worst team in the state.
Division 1.
We'll see. All right. These are just a few headlines, Jason. And this is tied with Alabama. Robert Foster, the receiver, went out during the game, came back out, and had his arm, in a sling. He's out for the season. He has a torn rotator cuff, so he is through. Two TCU players have been arrested for robbery and battery. Actually, I think what happened was, well, it's not funny. They
that beat is TCU. That does
Texas
stand
Christian.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They beat up some guy and stole a case of Keystone beer.
And this is not left field news.
No. This is legit. Okay. This actually happened. Now, I don't know if it was the guy they beat up's beer, or if they stole the beer and they got drunk and then they beat the guy up.
And they were riding on a horse when the police called them.
In Louisiana. Oh, I had that written down for later. We'll get to that a little bit later. Hey, Fresno State.
We're talking about something different then. I'm talking about the old left field news that you gave when a woman stole the beer.
Oh, okay.
And was riding the horse and was arrested.
Okay.
She had it tied on the horse.
Okay. Well, there's also another one I read today somewhere in Louisiana that a guy had pulled his horse trailer to somewhere and he got drunk at a bar and he just got his horse out, saddled it up, and was riding it home, and police pulled him over.
For a DUI.
They arrested him for DUI, he's riding a horse.
RUI, riding
on the dead horse. You imagine the police calling that in. Hey, we got a four-legged black staff we're trying to pull over here. Oh, all right. Fresno State quarterback was also arrested for public drunkenness. One thing, Jason, that they do occasionally is they will rank the quarterbacks, So, quickly, I will go over how the quarterbacks have been ranked so far this season. The number one ranked quarterback, you want to try to guess any of these? If you don't, that's fine.
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
I'm not going to know the quarterback's names on most
of
these.
Okay, that's fine.
So, I'm going to say the number one ranked quarterback rankings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be Blake, whatever his name, Oklahoma, would it?
No. It would.
Because he lit it up Saturday
yeah.
and had 55 fantasy points.
Okay, no, but it's not him. I tell you, we'll start with number 10.
All right.
Number 10 is from Arizona. Can't pronounce his first name. Solomon from Arizona. I've seen him play. He's a good quarterback. Number 9 is Jacoby Brissett from North Carolina State. He is number 9. Number 8, you got a tie between Cardale Jones and JT Barrett, which that is a story in itself, with Ohio State, that they're in the same situation that I guess maybe Alabama and Auburn finds themselves in, except they have TJ Barrett and Cardale Jones, whereas, Alabama has...
Is this leading to Jeremy Johnson at number one?
No, this is legit. Oh, okay. This is legit. So tied at number 8, Cardale Jones and JT Barrett of Ohio State. Number 7, Chad Kelly of Ole Miss. Number 6, Dak Prescott, Mississippi State. Number 5, Jared Goff of California, UK, Cal. Well, speaking of Cal, is Texas Snake beat or what?
Oh, yeah.
They get beat, what was it, 45-44, and they miss the extra point. Oh, man. Do you think Charlie Strong is just...
I think Charlie's got one more year, and if it don't shape up, he's going to be in the
I like him, but that has nothing to do with it.
I don't like Kevin Sumlin.
Who? No, that's obvious. That's the most overrated or the highest paid.
No, he may do it this year.
He may do it. He just hadn't so far for $5 million a year. The number 4 rated passer so far this year, Cody Kessler, USC. Number 3, Deshaun Watson from Clemson. Number 2, Trevon Boykin, TCU.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah. And number 1 ranked quarterback is Connor Cook from Michigan State. So
and
there's
the Oklahoma quarterback. Not
he's not
even
in that
top
10. No, he's not in that top 10 at all. So there you have with some just a few of the headlines, and I can see that you're wanting to get started. So
I'm getting wound up.
We'll hold off on the SEC and the NFL scoreboard from this past Sunday.
Yeah, we know what the freaking scoreboard said.
No, I'm talking. No. I'm talking about the NFL games that were played. I was going to get the scores.
Oh, I thought you said NFL and SEC.
I did. I was just talking about all the SEC teams playing, not just Alabama and Auburn.
No.
But I can see you don't want to do that.
Well, go ahead and give it. I'll be lining this up.
No, I don't.
I feel like a lawyer going into court right now.
Yeah, you've got plenty of documents over there. That's for sure.
And, Ronnie, it's not good documents.
Oh, it's not?
I want to run down, and we're not going to go through all this and bore everybody with every stat on here. But looked up today some of the key areas in any ball game, and Alabama finds their set not ranked near as bad. Let me say that right off the bat. Auburn, thank God for two or three teams, or Auburn would be last in nearly every category.
Yeah.
But
now, before we get started, so everybody knows, these rankings, the total number of FBS schools that are ranked is 127.
Right.
That's the total number.
Okay. Right. Let's start with scoring offense. Let's just see how good our teams are. Scoring
offensively.
Right.
Okay.
How many points they're putting on the board.
All right.
Alabama comes in at 38, which probably down for Alabama, but
okay.
Not that bad.
Okay. Are you saying they rank 38th or they're scoring at 38 points a game?
They rank 38.
Okay.
These are rankings.
Okay. Okay. Does it tell him they're scoring a game?
36.3.
Okay.
Which I would think would get you higher than 38.
All right. So they're ranked 38. Scoring 36.
Ole Miss is scoring 64.
All that's going to balance out, and you know it, just like I do.
Auburn finds themselves tied at 88th with 26.3, which surprises me again. I would think 26.3 would be higher than 88.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's not.
Thank goodness for the first game against Louisville.
Right. Let's see. 127th, last on the list, Central Florida, with a measly 12 points per game.
Ooh. That's
all
pretty
right.
Weak.
Let's hit more offense, passing offense. Let's number 10 on the list, the Ole Miss Rebels once again. They are passing for 352 yards per game, 16.7 yards per completion, 10.79 yards per attempt. Alabama coming in at 35. 288. They have 10.8 yards per completion, 6.65 per attempt. Now let's see if we can find
but
Auburn.
I would say I can, as an Alabama fan, and with, you know, all of, if people want to say controversy or the uncertainty of a quarterback and losing your top three receivers last year, that's not bad.
No, I'm fixing to tell you something. It's bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Auburn, 112
out of 127.
157 yards per game, 5 touchdowns. They're averaging 11 yards per completion and 6.57 yards per attempt. They're actually averaging more per completion than Alabama. They're just not completing very many.
at least to their own team.
Okay.
So
now let's get on, well, rushing offense.
Okay.
Rushing offense, Alabama comes in at 32, which I thought Alabama would be higher.
A little higher than that, I agree.
Auburn, 78.
How much are they averaging per game?
Alabama averaging 224 yards per game. Auburn, 171. And
that's
Gus Malzahn usually has a player get 171.
Yeah.
You're
but
not
that's
going
really ahead. Higher than what I was. I wouldn't have thought they were averaging 170 yards rushing, though.
Now, the tall tale here, let's go on the defensive side of the ball, what Alabama's known for.
Yeah.
Alabama ranks ninth rushing defense.
Did I not say that to start with?
Yeah. They are pretty
and
good.
And everybody else. Up
somebody
front,
running the ball. 72.7 yards per game, which is good in anybody's game.
Hmm.
I'm going to flip several pages to get to Auburn. Auburn comes in tied at 123. Now, we're paying our defensive coordinator $1.6 million, and we're tied for 123. We actually dropped from last year.
I was going to ask you, do you have the stats from – do you
Auburn,
know what last year
I think
was?
Auburn ended up in the high 60s, low 70s,
okay.
Something like that.
At the end
year.
Of the season.
Right.
So in fairness to Muschamp, we can only be talking about through three games so far.
Right.
I mean, I wonder where Auburn was last year through three games.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
LSU chalked up a lot of that rush.
Exactly.
Saturday.
Exactly.
passing yards allowed per game, Auburn actually ahead of Alabama in this category. Fall out. Auburn has one of the worst secondaries I've ever seen, but Alabama giving up more, and that's because of the Ole Miss game. They slung it around the stadium. Auburn coming in at 32nd, giving up 172 yards per game. Alabama coming in at 92nd. Now, 92. When is the last time you knew of an Alabama defense being 92nd in anything?
I don't know. It might have been the secondary last year.
Yeah, it could have been after the Auburn game.
Does it, Jason, does it say how much they're averaging giving up per play? If it, if you can't find it quickly, that's fine.
Yeah, Auburn is averaging 9.42 yards per completion. They're giving up 5.57 yards per attempt. Alabama giving up 11.31 yards per completion and 6.59 per attempt.
Okay, 11 yards an attempt.
And Alabama that guy, actually giving up more per.
Yeah, and that got inflated. And again, when you're this early in the season, you know, you have a bad game, and boy, your stats, I mean, depending on how you look at it, you'll go in the tank in a hurry, or you can shoot to the top in a hurry, depending on, you know, depending on which category you're in. Case in point, as we talked about before the show came on, you know, Ole Miss, and we, I know we'll talk about this later, they threw for 300 and some odd yards. They had two big plays, you know, and it makes it look, you know, a lot more, you know, they had a, but I think two completions that were, you know, for probably 120, 130 yards in two completions.
But, Ronnie, you have to agree. You have to. Alabama's defense, not feared like it once was.
No.
They give up over 40 three of the last six games.
Yeah,
so
I agree with you.
Alabama giving up 40.
I agree with you,
Passing efficiency on defense. Team passing efficiency defense. Auburn comes in at number 35. Alabama 74. I'm going to go through these a little bit quicker.
That's all right.
Red zone defense. Auburn coming in at 32nd. They've had 16 trips against them into the red zone. 12 scores, 9 of them touchdowns, 3 field goals. Teams are scoring 75% of the time on Auburn when they get in the red zone.
75%.
Alabama comes in at tied for 63rd. They've had 11 attempts. 9 of them have been scores, 5 touchdowns, 4 field goals. Alabama is getting scored on 81% of the time. And Ronnie is trying. Notice when that Alabama, I give Alabama.
Yeah, I try to. Go ahead and give it again.
Alabama is being scored on 81% of the time once a team reaches the red zone. 81%. And
that's
just in Auburn's case, more touchdowns than field goals. So they are letting them get in the end zone. And here's a nice one. Intercepted passes. How many interceptions the team has given up? Auburn tied for 121st with 6. Alabama 111th with 5.
Not too impressive.
Oh, third down conversion percentage. This is getting converted on third down.
Okay. You're talking about defensively?
Defensively.
Okay.
Auburn comes in at number 40. They are getting, picking up a first down, the team playing Auburn, 43.8% of the time on third down. Alabama comes in at 45th. They are 43.2. Now, why are they? Auburn's had more attempts, and so their percentage is not
hard isn't good.
But they're basically a wash there.
Yeah, not very good either way.
Last thing before we go to a break, fumbles lost. Alabama, Auburn tied for 59th. There's 29 teams tied there. Both teams have lost 2 fumbles this year.
We can only hope the stat sheet gets better after.
Oh, yeah, because it is.
After 3 more games.
It is UGLY right now.
That's right. You got no alibi.
That's right. 4:35 means it's time for a break. Don't forget, we got the mega passes here. If you want them, give us a call, 737-9505, and Ronnie will come up with a trivia question. We'll be right back. Sports Talk
Thank
Live, 95.5.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Here are a few things happening down at Wall Estate that we think you should be aware of. The Wall Estate Future Foundation Student Investment Luncheon is Wednesday, October the 28th. This is the college's largest fundraiser of the year, and the proceeds go to student scholarships. For more information, visit wsccfuturefoundation.org. If you or a family member has an ACT test coming up, check out Wall Estate's ACT prep workshops. The English and Reading Sections workshop will take place Tuesday, October the 6th from 4:30 until 7, and the Math and Science workshops will take place Thursday, October the 15th from 4:30 until 8. For more information on the Wall Estate Alumni Association, including benefits and how to become a member, visit wsccalumni.org. Congratulations to Wall Estate. This year, Wall Estate celebrates 50 years of being part of our community.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today, but this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
All right, back with you, 4:39 on a sunny Tuesday afternoon. It proves the sun does shine even after a loss.
That's right. Hey, Jason, just to mention, you know, kind of piggyback off of what you were talking about there with all the stats as far as, you know, the Alabama defense and the Auburn defense. And, yes, we know there's got to be improvement made on both sides of the ball for both of them to be successful. But it's still really early in the season. We know that those stats are going to be kind of skewed. You know, you played three games and you have one bad, let's just say you had one bad outing, then it looks a lot worse than what it is. So I think both clubs certainly have an opportunity to be better defensively than what they, you know, maybe have statistically it looks like. I've said this all along and I'm not going to change just because of where Alabama's stats are right now. Alabama, at least their front seven, is an outstanding defensive ball club. I mean, there's three or four first-round draft picks there on that front seven. It just depends on what, how that, the back four, how those young guys in the secondary continue, hopefully, to improve. I don't think there's any question they are better in the secondary than were last year, regardless of, you know, where their stats may be this year compared to last year. I think they're much better than they have been, and I think they'll just continue to get better as the season goes on. But, you know, as you were giving out those stats, Jason, overall defensively, and again, there's 127 teams, in the FBS, and Alabama ranks right now 43rd, which is, you know, look, if we get in, you know, toward the end of the season and they're still ranking here, they're in a world of hurt. No question, because
I agree with you.
There's no question. Their best side of the football field is their defensive side right now.
Right, and they're not on a good team. They're not going to score enough points to be able to give up that many points. They're like Auburn this year.
That's
Auburn,
right.
has been accustomed to being able to put up the points. This
right.
year they can't.
Right. Again, Alabama sitting there ranked 43rd in total defense, and I have to continue to scroll down to find Auburn. Auburn is ranked a mere 104th in total defense out of 127 teams. So
I don't see how anybody's worse than Auburn, Ronnie. I'd hate to see it.
Well, I was kind of scanning down through it. There's not there's a few teams that you would recognize, Jason, but not a lot of teams that, you know, we would watch. Case in point, you got teams like maybe Idaho and Texas State, Texas El Paso, Georgia State. You know, these are the schools that's below Auburn. South Carolina, they're below them. Does that make you feel better? They're
not
ranked
really.
112.
Not really.
It doesn't? Okay. So, Nebraska?
A question I want to ask you, being that you wear the crimson and,
yeah.
and white glasses.
Yeah.
Who is Alabama? What is this team's identity? Nick Saban, known to be the one who kicked up so much about the fast game
yeah.
and the slinging it all over the field
yeah.
and people are going to get hurt. Right.
Yeah.
Alabama, again, playing Ole Miss,
okay,
Alabama sorry. Threw the ball. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I know what it is.
9 times. That's not an Alabama team.
No, but it's not normally an Alabama team that is down 17 to nothing right off the get-go.
But they didn't. It's not like they got down 17 to nothing and decided to start throwing the ball. They came out
yeah.
slinging it all
yeah.
over, running
yeah.
the hurry-up offense.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they saw something, you know, maybe Saban and Kiffin saw something in the defensive alignment for Ole Miss that would allow them to, you know, to hurt them through the air. I don't know. Or maybe it was, you know, you got, what was the kid's name, number 5 from Ole Miss that was basically making every tackle. Boy, Alabama and Auburn both were all over that kid, wanting him and his brother. There's two brothers on Ole Miss's team, Kim Dichi or something like that.
I know the two brothers.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
300-pound and runs like a tailback. Maybe they just didn't. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't feel like they could be as successful running the football. I don't know, but yeah. I mean, I looked at that too, Jason. The stats, and you've got them all printed out there.
Ole Miss threw it 33 times.
Yeah.
Alabama threw it 59
yeah,
times.
Yeah. But again, I'm going to attribute it to the fact, and I know you're right in the fact that they weren't behind all that much to start with. They came out that way. But I think the score did kind of dictate as the game went on. Maybe not initially, but as the game went on, they were going to have to try to throw the football, going to have to try to score quicker and try to get the ball back. And they did, and you know, and they did that. And we talked about that before, you know, they came on the air. So go ahead. You can read them off.
It blows my mind, Ronnie, the situation Saturday night after I looked and Cooper Bateman was taking the field for Alabama. Auburn has just got thrashed by LSU, another
yeah.
terrible performance by Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah.
Auburn starts a quarterback who's turned in 3 terrible performances.
Yeah.
They barely squeaked by Jacksonville State, and they continue to play Jeremy Johnson throughout the game.
Right.
Alabama, on the other hand, has won pretty convincingly, and all of a sudden,
yeah.
3 games in, you've got a new quarterback.
Yeah.
Coming in.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a clue. You know, all you can go by is kind of what Saban, you know, talked about in his press conferences there a little bit. And we're going to play those in a little bit. We'll play you some of Saban's post-game press conference, and then maybe we'll play some of his press conference on yesterday. And we'll do the same thing with Gus, and maybe, you know, they may can shed a little bit more light on it. I don't know. I don't have an answer for really other than, you know, they say maybe Cooper Bateman has a little bit more athleticism, a little bit more quickness, that they maybe could, you know, get him to the edge and maybe use him more as a runner, and that's why they, you know, did what they did. I really don't know, but I think Coker came in and did an adequate job. He did a good, you know, maybe you can't say a good enough job, but you can't lay everything on his shoulders when as a team, you know, you give up basically 24 points off of turnovers. I mean, you're just not going to – look, you're not going to beat anybody if you're going to turn it over 5 times.
They might beat Auburn.
They wouldn't beat
Auburn. Going to give it back to them
times. Well, if Auburn didn't turn it over. Let's just say if Auburn didn't turn it over and Alabama turned it over 5 times, Auburn beats Alabama.
While we're still on the quarterback situation, give us – your thoughts on Jeremy Johnson, and I'm going to share my thoughts on Jeremy Johnson. Let's see if we're even in the same ballpark. Gus Malzahn announces suddenly today, change at quarterback, Sean White. He has got all the numbers from high school, the Under Armour Most Valuable Player, the Elite 11 quarterback. He beat out Kyle Allen in that.
Yeah.
We know from Jeremy Johnson that that don't translate into victories in college.
Right.
Is Gus Malzahn, in your opinion, I know we'll look back and know this answer in a few weeks.
Sure.
But as of right now, Gus Malzahn making the right decision, the wrong decision, or the only decision he can make? Or
For me personally, I think it's a decision that he has to make. I don't think he could trot Jeremy Johnson back out there again come Saturday against Mississippi State.
No, I agree.
Especially if he did, and if it went bad early, that's worse on the kid than if you just start the kid by the name of White.
I'm afraid Jeremy Johnson comes out on the field Saturday and you got 85,000 booing. I mean, it.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to be.
The only person I've heard say anything negative about Gus in this is Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah.
And, of course, that promotes his show.
Sure.
It gets callers.
Sure it does.
And
but you have to admit, whether you agree with a lot or anything that Paul Feinbaum may say or may not say, this Auburn situation with their quarterback, with Jeremy Johnson, and again, and I know people have to keep in mind, these are still kids. You know, I mean, he's still a 19, 20-year-old kid, something like that. With that in mind, Gus looks really, really bad over this situation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got enough egg on his face to feed the multitude.
Right.
You know, over Jeremy.
Like I said the other day, he had sold his soul
absolutely
to Jeremy Johnson.
No question. But now, you know, if you look at their schedule, what they've got coming up, if you're going to make a change, I think now's the perfect time to help Sean?
Yeah,
Sean White. To help him possibly, you know, get a win, gain some confidence, you know, have a week off, get some more reps for the first team. So it's perfect timing. But I don't really think Gus had any choice whatsoever in making this change.
And, Ronnie, I think a big part of it, Jeremy Johnson, if you watched his demeanor at the ball games, you never saw him getting fired up. He goes to the sideline, sits by himself, pouts or whatever.
Yeah. He just has like a blank stare on, you know,
Auburn
like
has no
deer in
leadership
a
on that team. I was thinking Saturday. Nobody is stepping up, taking command.
It was just a horrible performance. I mean, I don't know how else you can explain it other than it really looked like from the get-go that they really didn't have any interest in being in Baton Rouge, and it was 120 degrees on the field, and
jogging,
they're standing
around
over in the sunshine,
sticking their arm out trying to make tackles and jumping on people's backs.
Or over it.
Yeah.
So it was a very poor – it was an embarrassment, embarrassing effort is what it was.
All right. Speaking of War Eagle, thought she might be calling. Sheila is joining us. Hey, Sheila, have you recovered from Saturday?
I have.
Yes. Gotta ask you. I know you
y'all,
on Facebook. You said
on your team, y'all gotta keep your teams up.
Sheila, it is what it is.
Hey, Jason, we got this new quarterback coming in. He may just turn us completely around.
He's got to. There's only one way we can go from here.
There's no pressure on him,
right?
Well, that I think that's what happened to our other one. I think too much pressure.
Do you think Gus Malzahn made the right call?
You mean for Saturday?
To make the quarterback change?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you just don't feel sorry for the kid, though.
I don't feel sorry for him. He's costing us
he's
wins.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him.
I feel sorry for his mom and daddy. That's got to be embarrassing to have their kid perform that bad.
I think he did the right thing. And then again, if this guy don't do good, it may make, you know, Johnson come in. You can't never tell. Do better.
I'm going to make a prediction, Sheila. We won't see, you won't hear any more from Jeremy Johnson.
We might.
I don't think so. I think Jeremy Johnson is done, and he may be back in there Saturday. That's what I know. But we have a dual threat quarterback, Jason Smith, Robinson, something. It's something like that anyway.
Was he on the intramural team last year?
He was at a junior college.
Oh, okay. Same difference.
But he may play some Saturday.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Nah, I think this quarterback might come in to good. Brett seems to think he's going to do really good. We'll see. But y'all just down on him.
Sheila, if you'll tell me anything positive to say about Auburn's performance Saturday, I'll be glad to see it.
And repeat it twice.
That was a good long touchdown run he had now.
Well, he stayed hid behind the blocker like he was afraid somebody was going to hit him.
Hey, but that's what you do.
looked like it needed a sundial. It was taking him so long to get down the field.
Now, I really was surprised at the Alabama game. That game surprised me.
It did me too.
I thought they would win.
I did too. And
when they got 17 down, I wasn't worried.
I agree, and I know that Jason kind of rolls his eyes at me or whatever, but I think even with Ole Miss beating them 2 years in a row, and hats off to them, and Jason said it best. There's really no comparison to me in terms of just pure talent. Alabama has the more talented, team out there.
And when it comes down to it, if Alabama Auburn's not in the top anything, who in the heck are we going to pull for? It's not going to be any fun.
I don't know. You better be thinking about it.
I've been thinking about it. I can't think of nobody I like well enough.
Well, and here's the thing, Sheila. We haven't had to worry about it because last
year Jacksonville State had a good season.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know what? I told Dave the other day, he's making everybody hate Jacksonville.
He has that charm about him, Sheila.
Yeah. You know,
I tell him to stay off Facebook during the games because he's awful.
but you're talking about who to pull for. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 5 out of the last 6 years, it's either been Alabama or Auburn in the SEC championship game.
Yes.
The only one year was the year that LSU was in there. So
I'll eat my words because I said I didn't think they'd be good. But I've watched, of course, I watch all the games. I flip back and forth. Georgia really impresses me.
Now, Georgia's going to be to deal with.
They seem to be. But they're
thankful for LSU. I
think LSU, Alabama beats LSU, Sheila. First pick.
All you gotta do is stop that one guy.
Yeah, I've picked Alabama to lose that one, but I'm gonna change it, and I think Alabama beats LSU because they're a running team, and that's all they can do. And Alabama will stop that.
That guy's hard to stop, though.
Oh, he's sensational.
Alabama won't try to grab a flag, though, when they're playing.
Y'all are just mean. You just can't give up. I'm not giving up on my Auburn team.
Oh, I'm not giving up.
Are you going down this Saturday?
Are you kidding me?
My bunch is all going
to Sheila, let me tell you that you couldn't give me 4 tickets on the 50-yard line and give me $100 spending money and a free meal on the way home.
But you can give him 4 steak dinners and he'll get. I wish I were in there right now, Roddy.
Oh.
Jason, that's not good. My whole bunch is going taking them over home. You can go hang out with them.
I might go hang out with them, not go into the game.
They're not going in. I don't
see.
They're
Hey, you know why, Sheila? They're letting people in free and charging them to get out.
That's awful. Hey, give me the trivia question. I don't know them, but I'll try.
Okay. Shoot it, Ronnie.
The trivia question is
easy because I'm old and I got a bunch of grandkids.
Okay. Oh, well, let's see.
We know the answer to the trivia question.
Did you look it up?
I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
Here's to look it up. I won't know it.
All right. Who was the quarterback of the last? You want to do the Alabama or Auburn?
Alabama.
Okay.
That's the one we come up with.
Okay. The last undefeated season for Alabama, who was their quarterback?
Oh, my gosh. Is that like a couple years ago or a bunch of years ago?
That was, we'll give you the year. Did you say 2011?
2009.
2000, okay, 2009. 2009. Alabama went undefeated. Mm-hmm. Who was the quarterback?
Not 2009. That's before McCarron, so. It was right before McKay. I don't know.
I'm gonna give you one
Jason's
hint.
Jason's gonna help you.
And then you're gonna have 5 seconds. Ronnie's gonna count it down because this hint is gonna be so easy. All right. He is a commentator on a sports channel right now.
Jay Barker.
Nope. Sorry.
No.
Nope.
No.
Who?
Greg McElroy.
Greg McElroy. See, I knew that because I can't stand to watch him. He's awful.
Jay Barker's, I think, on the radio.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, well.
Hey. That was pay to get in.
Sheila, if we don't keep listening. If we don't give these away before
we'll
the end of the show,
clue.
Yeah, we'll give another timeout, call back and try it again. We're giving these away today.
That's right. One way or another.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day and stay with your team.
All right.
Thanks, Sheila.
Right, see you, Sheila.
Hey.
A woman who's full of confidence full of support.
And
I support them all. I support too.
Yeah, you do. You wear those crimson glasses.
I'm better at supporting Auburn than you are. You support Alabama.
You said that right. 456.
At least you're honest.
456, Sports Talk Live on a losing Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back to talk about the teams.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Planned Parenthood says Governor Bentley is breaking the law. The group's lawyer says the governor broke Medicaid law by ending funding to the two Planned Parenthood clinics in Alabama. The group is seeking an injunction. Bentley making the move after undercover video surfaced showing the organization profiting from fetal tissue sales. Planned Parenthood denies the accusations and says Medicaid patients have a right to choose their health care provider. U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson suggesting one resolution would be for Alabama to name the reason for ending the payments, which would trigger an appeal process. In Winston County, a collision between a coal-carrying truck and a vehicle. It happened on Highway 195. The driver of the car was killed. A Huntsville liquor store employee arrested on charges he was selling pain pills from the business. 37-year-old Christopher Wilkin faces three counts of distribution of a controlled substance. Investigators setting up surveillance at Vices, a liquor and tobacco store, an undercover agent buying oxycodone from Wilkin. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A 15-year-old at UAB Hospital undergoing surgery for a gunshot wound to the chest. Birmingham police say horseplay between two family members ended with the 15-year-old's injury. It happened at a home on Sundale Drive. A 20-year-old is in custody. Charges dropped against a former Brookwood High School teacher accused of having sex with a student, but the case is not over. Joe Petrie arrested in August for allegedly having sex with a female student. He's out on bond. His case goes to a grand jury this week, and a rearrest is expected. Due to policy, no preliminary hearing will be held. Tuscaloosa DA Lynn Head.
In cases where someone's not in jail, we don't see the need to expend law enforcement, judicial resources, and the resources of this office in having a hearing.
Petrie's attorney says his client deserves to see the evidence. Voters in Fairfield are at the polls today. They're deciding on a new property tax. School officials there say the system will be crippled without additional funding. If passed, the new revenue would also be used for street repair, parks, and fire protection. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In sports, Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn announces Sean White will be the starting quarterback for the Tigers against Mississippi State on Saturday. The redshirt freshman, a heralded recruit, has never taken a collegiate snap. Malzahn says he feels White is talented and needs a shot right now. UAB holds walk-on tryouts today. The football program reinstated in June. Team expected to get back on the field in 2017, and before the team was disbanded earlier this year, they had about 125 members. Now they have 30, some 50 prospects at tryouts. Coaching staff says they don't expect to fill their entire roster today. Former Alabama running back Kerry Good announces on Facebook today he's been diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. The Town Creek native played for the Tide from 1983 through 87, and his three brothers, Chris, Pierre, and Clyde, all played for Alabama. The youngest brother, Clyde, passed away in 2012 following a battle with leukemia. Kerry Good writing on Facebook, "If I could do it all over again, I'd still choose my life. I still have a lot of living, loving, and laughing to do." Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Five o'clock, straight up and down, sideways, or whichever way you want to look at it. Tuesday afternoon on a sunny Tuesday day, and running. Auburn this weekend. Mississippi State, Alabama going to get a break this weekend.
Yeah. Louisiana, Lafayette.
Yeah,
I think,
don't get a lot easier for Auburn.
No, it doesn't.
Auburn has had trouble containing a quarterback who has any ability at all to run the ball.
Yeah.
And we know what Prescott will do this weekend, so
yeah.
Do you have maybe another long day?
Do you have the stat from the Auburn LSU?
I do.
Do we want You want to stay on Auburn before?
Yeah, let's.
You want to stay on them a little
get
bit?
Get on their case a little
okay.
bit. Let's go Auburn passing. Start in the passing department. Auburn was a mere 11 of 19 for 100 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Jeremy Johnson carried the load himself. He had a 9.09 average per completion. LSU, I've done jumped to Alabama, only 12 of 17, but they didn't have to throw the ball.
That's right.
74 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, a 6.16 average. Jeremy Johnson carried the ball 12 times for a total of 41 yards, and he had a long of 65 yards.
So touchdown run.
Several sacks in there.
Yeah.
On the LSU side, and by the way, Jeremy Johnson was Auburn's leading rusher.
Says a lot.
With 41 yards. Auburn had a total of 160 yards
rushing.
LSU, oh, I hate to say it, Leonard Fournette, 228 yards on 19 carries, had a 71-yard run to start the game, and he knew right there.
It was over.
Yeah, Auburn was in trouble. He averaged, running, get a hold of himself, 12 yards per carry.
Every time he touched the ball.
12 yards per carry.
That was as dominating of an individual performance as I have seen in years out of a running back.
Yeah.
And I mean, you may have to go back, you know, to the years, and you hear people comparing him to a Herschel Walker. Right. I mean, you may have to go back kind of that far.
He is a man. I'm telling you, he's a man.
I know, because Alabama was all over him trying to recruit him or trying to get him, and he certainly chose LSU over, you know, over coming to Tuscaloosa.
LSU quarterback Brandon Harris carried the ball 8 times for 66 yards. He averaged 8.25 yards per carry.
Yeah.
We go 3 deep. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Goose or Geiser, whatever his name
Every
is.
Every back they put in there was better than any other back that...
6 carries, 55 yards, 9.16 yards per carry. So,
would you say, in my opinion, mate, is probably skewed because I'm more of an Alabama fan, every back that LSU put out there was certainly better than the backs that Auburn had?
Yeah, I'd probably say that. I'll say this.
Let me ask this.
Peyton Barber is our leading rusher.
Who are Auburn's backs?
I think Auburn's future is going to be in Kerryon Johnson.
I agree.
But he's a freshman.
He's a true freshman. Was playing high school football last year at Madison Academy in Huntsville, or in Madison, we should say.
Rock Thomas, he was wanted all over the nation. Everybody recruiting, 5-star athlete. You can scratch him and send him with Jeremy Johnson.
He's done, too.
Oh, yeah, I don't think. He may break out for a game somewhere and get 200 yards, but overall, I just don't think he's got it in him. I wonder if this Auburn team has got it in him.
Well, that brings me to this point. The fact that Auburn isn't performing up to their ability, or they just don't have good players. And if they don't have good talent and good players, that's dropped at the feet of Gus.
But, honey, if it is that they don't have good talent and good players, not only is it dropped at the feet of Gus, it's dropped at the feet of every analyst, every recruiting magazine, because Auburn... Mm. Both Gus's recruiting years have been a top 5-6 recruiting class.
Yeah.
So either they have fooled everybody like Jeremy Johnson done.
Yeah.
Or I'm thinking they're just not getting it out of them. Why? I don't know.
It could be many factors, you know.
Remember.
But on the flip side of it, Jason, as poorly as they played, and they have played, poorly since the season started.
Yeah.
They're still sitting there at 2-1, even though. You know, their two wins are against a Louisville club that hadn't won a game. They're 0-3. Their other win was over an FCS school of Jacksonville State, who they racked up almost 450 yards of offense on them. And then they lay the golden egg at LSU. So, and their quarterback play has been terrible along with many other things. It's still potentially there for them if they truly have talent. The potential is there for them to turn this into a good season. It's still just one loss, even though statistically it looks horrific, and it is statistically. They're still 2-1, but they've got to find something that can turn this around.
They've got to find a leader.
You're exactly
number one,
right.
Who wants to lead this team?
They have to find.
It's not Jeremy Johnson.
A leader.
It's not Peyton Barber.
You know, here's something else, Jason. I thought about this the other day when I was watching. Where's Duke Williams?
Right.
No clue.
I don't know. Somebody get his number and let's
no
call
clue,
him and
no
see.
Clue where any receiver is, really. But let's look at it in these terms, Jason, and we can make a correlation between football and basketball. If I've got a stud post player, and if I want that post player, if I encourage him to run as hard as he can down the offensive end of the field and beat that defensive post player down there, if I've got a outstanding or a good point guard, he's going to get that post player the ball, right?
Right.
If I don't have a good point guard, I'm not going to be able to get that post player to run that right. floor because he knows he's not going to get the basketball.
Right.
I think the same thing has happened to Auburn offensively. You're not getting receivers probably running their routes as hard as they could, cutting those routes off as sharp as they could, because they know he's either going to not going to throw it to them, he's not going to throw it where they catch, or he's going to throw an interception.
Oh, I
so I think it just builds, it all builds off of that, your opinion.
I agree 100%. Running, and Jay, we will play probably about half of that, and then we'll give you a shout. We want to hear about Jeremy Johnson.
First half?
Yeah.
Right. When you're ready.
But would you agree with
I
that?
I agree, yeah. I mean, there's no use if you know you're not going to get the ball.
You're not going to run those routes.
Right. It's just human nature.
That's right. And you're not going to, and you know, that just snowballs into everything else. If you know you as a receiver, he's not going to be able to get the ball to you. You're not going to run your routes. You're not going to do as good a job blocking because you're mad because the quarterback can't get you the ball. It just snowballs. So
and the other part of Auburn's offense is the read option, and he can't.
It's non-existent.
He is going to hand the ball off
every time.
There's no read.
So you know, if the Sean White can come in, if he can complete a few passes, if he can give them any kind of a spark, anything they can hang their hat on, things will have to get better. It can't get much worse. Than the way it was at LSU.
And Ronnie, Jay, after this we'll go to Gus's and hear what he has to say about Sean White. But let me catch people up for those who may have never even heard of Sean White.
I don't have a clue.
Because he never took a collegiate snap.
I think of Stan White. How about that?
If he does, as good as Stan White, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Stan White started as a freshman at Auburn.
He did.
Sean White, a redshirt freshman, but he was highly touted in high school out of Hollywood, Florida. He was the number five.
So was
five,
Jeremy Johnson.
Right. The number five, number six. But that's all we've got to go by.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Alabama's number one recruiting class that
that's
you should
right.
always talk about.
That's right.
They're just numbers till they get
they're,
in there.
Till
the
they perform.
He was the, let's see, Under Armour most valuable player in the Under Armour game his senior season. He was the Elite 11 quarterback camp. He was the winner of it, won over Kyle Allen and several others. Now, he is in good company when we talk about the Under Armour camp money. He is in there with people like Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Dwayne Allen, Courtney Upshaw.
That's some guys that's making some serious coins on Sunday.
Trent Richardson, Matt Barkley.
Most of them.
Yeah,
part of
Trent Richardson took the
he's
boat back to Alabama, I guess. Blake Bell, who's quarterback at Oklahoma now.
Some quality people,
right.
Quality players.
It goes on and on and on. Braxton Miller. And so we'll see. Does this translate into the college game? Who knows?
He is a true freshman?
Redshirt
freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. Right. Okay.
Melissa and I have an additional theory about why they lost on Saturday. He did not show up wearing a sweater vest. I'm looking at, you know, my zone.
Thank God
because
it was a good thing.
It was 120 degrees on the field.
But the Mad Hatter had on a jacket.
He did.
He had
long sleeve. What about that?
Yeah.
That's a real man right there.
Jay, take us to Coach Gus Miles on. Let's hear what he has to say about the quarterback situation.
Very good Mississippi State team at home. I know our coaches and our players are excited to come back for a night game here at home. Offensively, their quarterback's one of the better players in all of college football. He's their leader. Throws the ball extremely well. He's like another running back. Really makes their offense go. Defensively, they got a lot of guys back from last year, which is a very good defensive unit. Their defense coordinator, Manny Diaz, is a guy that we're familiar with. He was at Mississippi State in 2010. Last year was at Louisiana Tech, which we actually played those guys. He's very unique with the things that he does. On our end, offensively, we're going to make a change of quarterback this week, and Sean White is going to be our starter. Sean is in a good spot. He's practiced well. We have a lot of confidence in him, and we're going to start him out. On another note, Carl Lawson, his injury is a little more serious than we first thought. He's going to be out for an extended period of time. I'm not ready to say exactly, you know, when that is. We're hopeful that we'll get him back before the season is out, but I'll keep you updated from time to time on his status. And obviously, you know, he's an impact player. You know, it's been really tough on him, especially going through last season and having another. He's a great competitor, and he's going to do everything in his power to get back on the field.
Questions?
When did you make the decision about Sean and what weighed into it, and was it a tough decision?
Yeah. You know, anytime you change quarterbacks, it's not an easy decision, but just, you know, really probably today is when I really went ahead and me and Coach Lashley made the decision. And feel like that's best for offense right now. And Sean White is a guy that has got a lot of reps. He's responded very well in practice and very well in scrimmages, and just feel like he needs a shot right now. And, you know, we got a lot of confidence in him.
Is he the guy for Phillips?
He's our starting quarterback going into this game, and you know, we're going to get behind him, and I know his teammates will also, and he's a talented young.
It sounds like the press was almost in disbelief, too.
How does Jeremy handle this?
You know, Jeremy's a competitor. I mean, he's a competitor, and you know, but he's a team guy, too. So, you know, he'll support Sean, and, you know, he'll get reps still in practice, and, you know, he'll be ready if he's called upon. You know, on that.
How many first team reps was Sean getting during the season, the first 2-3 weeks?
You know, probably not a lot of first team reps. In fall camp, there was quite a few. And, you know, usually as the season goes on, the backup gets more with the first team, but early in the year, it's usually just the ones, you know, going with the ones. But he's comfortable with the receivers and, you know, knows them very well.
That surprised me that you got to this point after the obviously y'all had a lot of confidence in you.
Yeah, it's you know, pretty unique. You know, it is a little surprising, but at the same time, you know, from a coach's standpoint, you know, you got to each week do what you feel like is best for your team and for your offense, and that's where we're at. And you know, we have confidence, and I'm looking forward to seeing Sean. I mean, he's. He's a guy that can flat out throw it. He can run it too, and he's got that little air of confidence that, you know, quarterbacks have.
So do you kind of regret not getting him out on the field against LSU?
No, you know, from a coach's standpoint, I think it's very important that you don't make emotional decisions, especially in a quarterback situation. And no, I felt like that was the right thing to do, to put him back out there. And, of course, you know, he made a great run on the quarterback draw. That was a heck of a play, and did play better in the second half than the first. But, you know, after you kind of look at things and you get the motion out, and that's just the direction we feel like we needed to go. And, you know, I feel good about Sean, and Coach Lashley does too. And I know that his teammates – we'll have a whole lot of confidence in him this week, and so we're excited to, you know, trot him out there and see what he can do.
Does the team know yet? Have you told
them? Yeah, the team knows, and the two kids know.
Could Jeremy still play Saturday against Mississippi?
You know, right now Sean White's our starter, and that's the way we're going in the game.
Is it going to be a week thing, or are you?
He's our starter for this game, and you know, I'll say this from you know, a coach's standpoint. I mean, and a player standpoint, you take one game at a time, and that's the way we're doing it. And we're thinking about nothing but Mississippi State, and you know, we're putting the first three games in the rearview mirror, and it's over. And all we're thinking about is Mississippi State, and that's the way we're going to operate. And you know, taking back to 2013, there's some similarities. You know, there was some similarities. We didn't play great early in 2013. We went to LSU. We got beat pretty good. And then we kind of knew what we had moving forward, and we got better. And our team rolled their sleeves up, and our leaders stepped up. And that's what needs to happen right now. And this team can do that. And that's what I expect them to do. So, you know, we first three games, we kind of figured out some things offensively and defensively. And we got a plan moving forward. And we're playing a good Mississippi State team at home. And we're looking forward to it. And, you know, I feel good about the spot we're in, but we need to respond.
Okay, Jay, I think that's about all we need from Gus. Ronnie, a couple of things I found interesting is he didn't give any indication that we would even see Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah.
He just responds that Sean White is the starting quarterback. And I think more or less this is done to make Sean White feel, hey, we're not looking over your shoulder every move you make. You throw an interception, you're not going to be
necessarily
sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So. And I think Jeremy Johnson has been given ample opportunity to prove
himself. Ample opportunities. You know, he's been given three full games to win or to keep the job, and he's done nothing to, you know, for them to hang their hat on to be able to allow him to keep it. Now, he's done zero, you know, to keep it. So they don't have any choice. You know, Gus doesn't have a choice. This is not a hard decision. This is a decision you and I could make.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And it would be the same decision if we're going to trot, as Gus says, we're going to trot the white kid, the Sean White, out there.
When you talk about Auburn is accustomed to having black quarterbacks,
right.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And when you say the
white kid, you think he's...
Yeah. So, folks, when we say the white kid, we're talking about Sean White.
We're
not talking about the color
That's
of his
right.
skin.
That's right. So when you trot him out there, as Gus said, he's our quarterback, and no matter how bad it gets for him, he's going to stay out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he has to. We may see the dual threat quarterback. I got to look his name up.
Yeah.
I think Jason Robinson, something like that.
It might be like watching a whole new football team.
It could be.
Yeah,
You know, that may be the single spark that they need. And look, if you're going to be at home, and it's against another SEC opponent, a good one, if you can't get ready to play after you got totally humiliated and embarrassed, then if they come out there and they lay another egg, it's over.
And
because if that's the case and they lay another one, there's no character.
Yeah, and that's a question mark in my head.
That's right. You're in a foxhole with somebody that you don't want to be in there with if they come lay another egg. But I don't think they will.
We will see. One thing about it, Ronnie, I think Sean White will be the smartest kid on the field.
Yeah.
If they want to sit down and take an IQ test, I think Auburn's going to be in good shape there. He had a 4.3 grade point average.
Yeah.
Harvard offered him scholarship, so
yeah.
He is.
They may not keep his nose out of chemistry book while he's in school.
No, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Hey, guys, when we come back, do we get to hold the Alabama fans' hands and sing Kumbaya?
Yeah, we will go to Nick Saban real shortly.
Yeah, we'll see his press conference as well.
And I've got a little song I want to play for Ronnie before we
go. Thank goodness.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned to hear that song. I'm sure you want to hear it. Ronnie's dying to hear it.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5. Stay with us.
The Alabama Sports Network.
Groan.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Here are a few things happening down at Wallace State that we think you should be aware of. The Wallace State Future Foundation Student Investment Luncheon is Wednesday, October the 28th. This is the college's largest fundraiser of the year, and the proceeds go to student scholarships. For more information, visit wsccfuturefoundation.org.
If you or a family member has an ACT test coming up, check out Wallace State's ACT Prep Workshops. The English and Reading Sections Workshop will take place Tuesday, October the 6th from 4:30 until 7, and the Math and Science Workshops will take place Thursday, October the 15th from 4:30 until 8. For more information on the Wallace State Alumni Association, including benefits and how to become a member, visit WSCCalumni.org. Congratulations to Wallace State. This year, Wallace State celebrates 50 years of being part of our community.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALA-PARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Back with you, Sports Talk Live, and while we were on the break, I introduced Ronnie to Sean White on video.
He's got a good arm.
He can throw it.
Of course, Jeremy Johnson's got a good arm, too.
Too big for him.
That's right.
That's, you know, a lot of difference in playing in front of 85, 90,000 and playing in front of 8,000.
Yeah, and a lot of difference in the caliber of people you're going to be playing, too. But, hey, you know, he deserves an opportunity.
Right.
So put him out there.
He can't do any worse.
He's not going to do any worse.
On a bright note, we've talked about Jeremy Johnson and kind of downed him, I guess, and Sheila feels sorry for him, but he was headed in the right direction. Now, you're looking shocked, but the first game he had 3 interceptions. Second game he had 2.
Yeah.
The LSU game he had 1.
Okay. Well, he was improving.
So he cut down 33% the second game.
Yeah.
He cut it in half for the third game.
You could live with 1 interception. Really?
Yeah, we are. 1 a game.
You don't live with that. Yeah. So he got better and he gets pulled.
Yeah. He couldn't get no worse.
The weird life of a quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah, but if he hadn't got pulled, I think they would have been something similar to the KKK showing up at Gus's house.
It wouldn't have been good. Gus didn't have a choice. Mm-mm. Had no choice whatsoever. So, hey, Jason, can you very quickly pull up Auburn's schedule and let's look at it quickly before we move on and we start throwing the hammer down on Alabama here a little bit? Or
and I'm ready whenever you are.
Oh, okay.
I knew there was a catch to that you wasn't going to throw.
I'm not. Well, I am, but I'm not, if that makes sense at all.
You have to admit, Ray, this is not the Alabama team from years past.
Oh, no, I'll give you that. I will certainly give you that.
I'm doing good to get you to agree to that.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But, you know, we just mentioned a minute ago about Auburn's schedule and who they've got remaining. If we could just go through that quickly. And
Mississippi State Saturday at Auburn.
Okay. All right, now, Auburn, they're won 2 games right now.
Right.
So taking what we know from these 3.
Advantage.
Which I don't understand that whatsoever.
I don't either.
There's no clue as to why Auburn is favored in this game.
But they are a 3-point favorite, according to Vegas.
Because they're at home. But, okay, are they going to beat Mississippi State? Now, take off your Auburn hat. I say no.
My money says no.
Okay, I say no.
I guess that's the best indicator.
So they're still sitting there at 2 wins. Then they play
San Jose State.
All right, they'll win that, and that's 3. Then
at Kentucky on a Thursday night.
Okay.
I say they're going to win.
Okay, that's 4. All right, they beat Kentucky. Who they got next?
Arkansas.
They're not going.
I think they'll beat Arkansas.
I don't think they're going to beat Kentucky and Arkansas, but it won't matter. I'm going with what you say. That's five. Okay.
Right. Ole Miss will be a loss.
Okay. Still at five.
Texas A&M will be a loss.
Five.
Georgia will be a loss.
Five.
Idaho will be a win.
Six.
Alabama, coin toss.
Okay.
I can't say
all right. I got you. So what we're looking at potentially is best case scenario, seven. Win seven games.
Not best case, but
if it plays out,
more than likely,
you're not
seven
going,
wins.
Yeah, it's not going to be nine.
I don't know about that.
Okay, best case scenario, nine wins.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
Right. More practical, you're looking at 6 to 7 wins.
Right.
Okay, and then and you mentioned this earlier, Jason. If they ended up with 6 wins, and I'm not saying they will. Will they get invited to a bowl game?
They will if they can count the Jacksonville State game. If the Jacksonville State game, if they've already counted their whatever game, it can count every 2 years or every 3 years.
Yeah.
It depends on if they've counted that game.
6-6 is going to get them a bowl regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
And
simply because it's SEC and they're going to travel and they're going to put fannies in the seats, and that's what bowl seasons are after.
Right.
Okay. That's just what I want us to touch on that before we went on to Alabama.
Well, they deserve a bowl game? No, not at 6 wins. I think they need to cut those bowl games
in
half.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, okay, we're going to get Jay to play Nick Saban's press conference for Monday, and then we're going to break down the Alabama game, and I'll give you my opinions, which are going to be different from Jason's.
Opinion.
But you know that's why we're here. So, Jay, if you'll play that for us.
How's everybody today? You know, I was really pleased with the effort that our players gave in this last game. They really played hard. They showed a lot of resiliency to, you know, keep coming back, give themselves an opportunity to even, with 2:50 to go in the game, have a chance to have possession of the ball to win the game. But just too many self-inflicted wounds, you know, to overcome, regardless of what the effort, what the resiliency was. And, you know, it would be easy to sit here and say that, you know, the turnovers were the issue. But we need to have better fundamental execution of what we're doing. Too many negative plays, you know, on offense, too many big plays on defense. Too many miscues on special teams in terms of who's blocking who. So, you know, I think our players had tremendous energy in this game, but we have to learn to channel our energy and focus into the right places so that we get better execution on a more consistent basis. And that starts with me. It starts with us as coaches in terms of doing a better job through the course of the weekend, preparing guys to be able to go out there and execute better. So that's, you know, really where it starts. So the focus is to improve our team. We're looking forward. There's many lessons to be learned in the last game, and hopefully our players will learn those lessons, and we will do a good job of improving our team in the future so that we can get more consistent execution. Now, we got to address the ball security issues. We got to address getting turnovers. And, you know, we've got to eliminate the big plays and the negative plays on both sides of the ball. So, with that said, you know, we had several really outstanding performances. Derrick Henry, Richard Mullaney on offense, Jaron Reed and A'shaun Robinson on defense, and, you know, Adam Griffin and Tony Brown. You know, Adam, great onside kick, did a great job of ball placement on some of the kickoff things. So we'll kind of go from there. Two injury updates. Robert Foster is going to be out. You know, I didn't think this was going to be this big of a problem, but he has a shoulder injury that will require surgery, so he will be out. And Cole Mazza is out for medical reasons, and we'll when he can return, he'll be back on the team. You know, UL Monroe, Todd Berry has Toddy has done a really good job there. He's been there for a while. These guys do a myriad of things on offense that are very hard to defend. A lot of formations, a lot of motions, a lot of adjustments, fastball. Quarterback is very efficient, very accurate. They've got 9 starters back on defense, so they play physical, tough defense. So I think the focus for us is to get our team better, and it wouldn't matter, you know, really who we were playing this week. That still would be the focus of what we need to do.
I know you've touched on this before, but after 3 games, do you feel like the offense has found an identity yet?
No, I think we need to continue to develop that. You know, I thought we had some identity in the first game, and we're moving in the right direction. And in the last 2 games, you know, we've been a little bit scattered. So, you know, we need to have some certainty in what we're going to do. I think Jake played, when he came in the game, he played with some passion, showed great leadership and energy when he played. You know, we still have things that we need to work on and improve, and, you know, at this point, you know, providing he does the things he's supposed to do, you know, I think, you know, we'll start him in this game. But I still think that what I'm talking about applies to all positions, including the quarterback.
Michael and then Cecil. I guess that was kind of the question about moving forward with the quarterbacks. When you looked at everything on the film, what you saw and positives, negatives, and moving forward, what that means for that quarterback position?
Well, I just answered that question, but so I don't know what else I have to say about it. They need to improve on things. We got to throw the ball the right place at the right time, and we can't throw it to the other guys. And that's you know, probably the number one issue. And executing and doing the things properly relative to how we're coached to do it. Understanding it, we got to do a better job of teaching it, and we all need to do a better job of executing it.
Cecil? Yeah, I've got 2, Coach. First, just to follow up on Robert, who among the receivers will get some extra time, some extra targets with him out?
Well, you know, Calvin Ridley played a lot in the game, kind of took his place, and he has done a really nice job. You know, we're going to give lots of opportunities to lots of guys, but it's going to be some young players that are going to get the opportunities. You know, Richard Mullaney is certainly playing very well. You know, we got to get our Darius Stewart playing with more consistency. He's got capabilities of making big plays, and he has made some plays, but we certainly need to, and we're going to need some of our young players to show some progress so that they can play. And I think, you know, Cam Sims is probably more and more ready to come back, and I think we're probably ready to give him some more turns as well.
And then on their tip ball touchdown, as a head coach, not here, but as a head coach, you've been on both sides of that thing now, LSU-Kentucky game. And how does that affect that one's at the end of the game, but how does that affect a defense? How does that affect the morale of a team on a play like that?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, they snap the ball over the quarterback's head, or he misses a snap, however you want to categorize it, and he's getting hit and just throws it up, and it turns into a 75-yard or whatever it was touchdown. You know, I think that those are the kind of things that sometimes happen in games. But it still goes back to fundamental execution. You know, the defensive backs are never going to recover that ball. So they should have covered their guys. Somebody didn't cover their guy. So somebody else had to come off of their guy to knock the ball away from that guy, which left his guy open to catch the tip and run for a touchdown.
This sounds like who's on first.
Fundamental execution still minimizes the opportunities for those things to happen. What you got to have your players geared up to do is play the next play and not get affected by things like that when they happen, and show resiliency to focus on what they have to do the next play. So that's the way it's got to be. You know, that was the first play, the first series of the second half, and we wanted to get a stop, and didn't turn out that way. But we got to overcome it.
You were down 19 points, okay, 10 minutes left. Fans are leaving the stadium. And at the end of the game, you had the ball.
Coach Nick Saban.
It's Monday, yesterday's press conference.
And Coach Saban and I see the game more alike than me and you do.
Why is that?
Because he said you can't lay it all on the turnovers.
No, I agree you can't lay it all on the turnovers.
Turnovers did play a part in the game, but...
Turnovers are huge when you make five.
I know. Auburn's made their share.
Yes, exactly. And that's why Jeremy Johnson is no longer going to be the quarterback, and that's why Alabama got beat. Are attributed to Alabama getting beat.
That's right.
Turnovers.
It helped
and,
Alabama get
you know,
beat.
And then as he mentioned that, you know, snap that went over the quarterback's head and he threw it 40 yards straight up in the air and it ended up in Ole Miss hands. But you got to give Ole Miss credit.
Right.
They made that play. And Alabama did not make that play.
Is Ole Miss the best team in the SEC?
No.
Who do you think's the best team?
Alabama.
Right, that's done been proven. Alabama's not.
That hasn't been proven to me. When it will be proven to me if we take two teams equally do the same thing, as much to equal as you can, and you just line up and get whipped.
What it will be proven to me is if Alabama makes it all the way through the rest of the season undefeated and winds up playing Ole Miss again in a bowl
right.
game or something
that's
and defeats them.
You know, this same thing happened last year.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah. Ole Miss beat Alabama. I'm not saying it's going to happen this year. Ole Miss beat Alabama. Alabama won the SEC.
I will bet you $1,000 right now, steak dinners. Alabama don't run the table.
Oh, I had Georgia beating them.
I think it's far from over for Alabama.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's probably going to
end up more like what you say than what I say, because I hang five turnovers and the points off those turnovers as being an instrumental factor in why LSU Ole Miss scored 43 points.
All right, that had something to do with it.
The Ronnie has spoken.
The old Alabama defense, though, they wouldn't have scored that many points.
How many would they have scored?
Probably 20.
20?
Alabama in their glory.
Total? Even with five turnovers?
Right. Let's go to a break. We'll come back and talk about this.
Ole Miss ain't the same team they
Sports
were years
talk
ago.
Talk Live. Who said that right?
That's right.
95.5. Coleman.
Hey, Coleman. The Live 95 Battle of the Band series has returned, thanks to the support from the Coleman Lions Club. Join us this Saturday at the Coleman County Fair Entertainment Tent to see a whole new group of bands perform. Or, as usual with our Battle of the Bands events, tune into the whole thing right here on 95.5 FM. Come join us starting at 2 p.m. at the Coleman County Fairgrounds to see performances from Crystal Hills, Michael Cannon, Matt Graves, Southern Stitches, and more. Special thanks to the Coleman County Fair for supporting local music right here in Coleman. See you there, and thanks for listening to Coleman's Independent Radio, Live 95.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career, how to get your music published and licensed, and the $1 million question, how to get your music played on the radio. Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
All right, back with you. Ronnie and I have already mapped out the next 2 years in Auburn and Alabama football.
That's right. And hey, I want to go over just a few stats here from the Alabama Ole Miss game, and then we'll be on to whatever you want to talk about. Okay.
Fair enough. Let me pull out my papers.
Okay. Here's what I base my opinions on. Number one, and I know Saban, he's a head coach, so he is not going to, Jason, as a head coach, say, you know, basically the reason we lost this ball game is because we made too many turnovers. That's too easy. He could have said that, but head coach is not, they're usually not going to do that. It's going to be, you know, we did something else somewhere along the line that we weren't able to win the basketball game. Just like a basketball team, you're not going to, you know, most head coaches are not going to say, well, we lost the ball game because the officials. No. We lost the ball games because, you know, we didn't make layups and we didn't make free throws. We didn't do the fundamental things that we have to do to win.
I think Nick Saban is looking at it like I look at it, Ronnie. A good team or great team overcomes those turnovers and still finds a way to win. Alabama at one time could have done that.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
See, I don't know if they could have even done it with five turnovers.
I think we can go back and look and find where they've won with five turnovers.
But what caliber of a team did they beat with five turnovers? Yeah, they could turn it over five times.
You though that Ole Miss wasn't that good a football team.
Oh, no, I think they're a good football team. I'm saying if Alabama was playing a sorry football team, they could turn it over five times and still win.
Yeah.
If they're playing a good football team, they can't turn it over five times and win.
Could Alabama turn it over five times against Arkansas and win?
I don't know that they could.
I think they could. They could probably turn it over five times against Auburn and win.
I don't think they could turn it over.
Auburn can't get out of their own way. Right?
I know, but I don't think there's a team that Alabama left on their schedule. Well, I don't think there's an SEC team left on their schedule they can turn it over five times and win. That's just my opinion.
I don't know.
All right. Here's a couple of things that kind of jumps out at me. Total yards, it was 433 to 503. Alabama had over 500 yards of offense. Alabama ran, Jason, they ran 101 offensive plays. Ole Miss ran 65 offensive plays.
And you don't run 101 plays without being in a hurry-up offense.
I'll give you that. And as you said earlier, they threw the ball 59 times, you know, completed 32 of them. I know you mentioned and you were right spot on about, you know, they came out and was throwing it all around to start with. They were, and then when they got down, it just kind of compounded where they felt like they had to throw it to get back into into the ball game. Rushing yards, again, I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to be able to effectively run the football against Alabama.
We will find out when they play LSU.
That's right.
LSU can't do that.
That's the test right there. That's exactly right. Ole Miss had 92 yards rushing. Alabama had 215 yards rushing. First downs, Alabama dominated that. 29 first downs to 16 for Ole Miss. So, yes, it was a loss. Yes, they didn't do the things they needed to do to win the football game, but I didn't leave that game thinking this is a bad football team at all. I think it's a good football team that made some bad mistakes.
Now, let me tell you my take. I left that football game thinking this is a average Alabama team. I don't think they're an average Alabama team.
Okay, which is a good team.
Yeah, they're a good team overall. If you line them up across the nation, they would rank in the good category. But for Alabama, much is expected.
Absolutely.
And I don't think they're up to expectations right now. They may be before the year is over. Who knows?
Right.
But as of right now, I don't think Alabama's getting a passing grade.
I don't think Saban, of course, you know, is any head coach ever pleased with him or anything? Probably not. But you know, we can talk all we want to about potential, but
that's Jeremy Johnson.
That's right. Potential is just what it is. It's just potential because you got to get it done on the field. But one thing that Saban said, he was talking about Coker being the starting quarterback. He said he would be the starter this week, provided he does the things he needs to do. I mean, is that a vote of confidence for your quarterback? Well, he's going to start if he does what he's supposed to do. You know, there's got to be some underlying factors there that say
it could be an attitude problem.
It could be. You know, I don't know what it is.
I think that's one of the Jeremy Johnson's things. I think it may have come down to Gus making that decision today. He goes in, has a talk with Johnson, and he don't get the reaction he wants, and so they make the call.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a team player or not responding the way they want him to.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean that statement says a lot more than, you know, about the 10 words that's in it. Okay, he never made that statement about Blake Sims. He never made that statement about AJ McCarron. He never made that statement about Greg McElroy. So there's got to be. It seems to be there's some underlying factor.
Yeah, probably a reason he didn't start this past Saturday.
There, right. Other than what's given.
That.
That's right.
Yeah.
So do they have a long way to go? Absolutely, but their whole season is still in front of them, and they're good enough to accomplish most of the goals they want to accomplish.
You said during the break, Ronnie, that you were kind of down on the SEC West as a whole this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, for so many years, yes, it has been dominant. But this year, I just don't see, it doesn't appear, at least after three games, that the West is as dominant of a conference or a division as it used to be.
You know,
is
like
it still
good?
Absolutely.
We'd like to say, you know, put Ohio State in this league and see. And, you know, they probably do lose a game.
Right, or two.
I don't think.
But not like they would have in the past.
I don't think the West is going to just bulldozer over Ohio State.
No, I don't either. You know, Alabama's not quite as maybe good as they want to be right now. Auburn certainly isn't. Arkansas's laid an egg. You know, Texas A&M, the jury, as you say, is still out on them. LSU has looked pretty impressive. I mean, they thrashed Auburn.
But not a lot to judge them.
But I'm going to say, what are you hanging your hat on?
Auburn couldn't stop defensively running the ball.
Auburn defensively was every bit as bad as they were at any time last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but.
And you know, somewhere, probably on a golf course, Ellis Johnson.
Oh, he's loving it.
Smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah,
right
of course
now.
He is. I would be too if I was him. So
I told them they couldn't win with those athletes they've got on defense.
That's right. And then Ole Miss is a good football team. Take nothing away from them. Probably Hugh Freeze is probably the best. He's probably done the best job in the short period of time that he's been at Ole Miss over anybody else.
Yeah.
Are they the number three ranked team in the country? Well, you know, the votes say they are.
I got a number one in the West right now.
Yeah, that's right. And that's really all that matters, you know. So in Mississippi State, who knows about them? A lot of questions left yet with the SEC.
Yeah, I think it'll be fruit basket turnover before the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, 5:48 coming up on 5:49. almost call it quitting time
that's
for today.
Right.
And we'll be right back to wrap it up for this week. 737-9505. We have 2 mega passes for the Coleman County Fair. Call and be the first caller. We'll give them to you.
That's right.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norfell. The murder trial of a woman accused of killing a man with a golf club and hammer is now underway. Prosecutors say Chastity Cates of Homewood repeatedly hit Rick Geralds in the head with a golf club, then moved to a hammer when the club didn't kill him. Cates' attorneys tell the court they won't dispute that Geralds died in his home, but claim their client is a confused woman who was not of her right mind in the attack in June of last year. A $10,000 reward being offered for information leading to an arrest and conviction in the deaths of a Marshall County couple killed killed in their home in the Asbury community. 68-year-old Denise Oliver Tucker and 64-year-old Pamela Cords Tucker found shot to death September 11th. The couple, well known in the community for their love of horses and participation in barrel racing. A Mobile woman arrested after a shooting. Cops say 27-year-old Shade Petway shot her brother in the shoulder after an argument. She faces a charge of domestic violence and carrying a pistol without a permit. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Critics say the Jefferson County Commission is caving in to political correctness. Commissioners say they want to remove anything deemed offensive from the courthouse. Commissioner Sandra Little Brown pointing to a 1930s-era lobby mural depicting agrarian life in the Old South because it features slaves. Commissioner David Carrington wants swastikas removed from the marble outside the courthouse. Those symbols were etched before the rise of Nazi Germany. There's also a call to take down portraits of county commissioners convicted of criminal charges. No word on how much this effort would cost. Another arrest in connection with the death of an Albertville man in a Huntsville hotel room. Travis Johnson of Aiken, South Carolina, charged with murder. Investigators say he, along with Asia Tiffany Lee, beat Dewey Edmondson to death at the Sleep Inn on University Drive. For those affected by layoffs or business closures in Alabama, the U.S. Department of Labor is granting over $500,000 for job-finding programs. That includes a mobile career center that will travel statewide to offer on-site help to job seekers. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN. In money news, a new emergency air ambulance service to soon provide medical transportation in Dothan and surrounding areas. A formal announcement and aircraft display to be held tomorrow for Wiregrass Life Flight. It'll be based in Dothan, offering response to emergencies up to 300 miles away, but will primarily serve southeast Alabama, southwest Georgia, and north Florida. Ground to be broken Wednesday to mark construction of a new Hampton Inn at the Village of Providence in Huntsville. Several city leaders to be part of that event. The four-story hotel will feature 2,000 square feet of retail space, which is already leased. The tenant to be revealed during tomorrow's ceremony. The new Whole Foods Market in Mobile opening its 35,000 square foot facility today, complete with entertainment from a band and shoppers getting a chance to win gift cards. And construction expected to start soon on a new Panera Bread location in Gadsden at the River Trace Shopping Center. Nine Round, a kickboxing gym with facilities in Hoover, Northport, and coming soon to Tuscaloosa, announces four more gyms will open in Metro Birmingham. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
All right, back with you, 5:52, and I understand we've got a winner for the Mega Passes. Sheila, are you with us?
I am. I had to wait a long time to call back.
Hey, yeah, we made you wait, but we done it.
I'll listen anyway, so it's okay.
Sheila, these Mega Passes are good any day, September 24th through October the 3rd. Understand they cover your admission, your rides. It's a $22 piece value, so you're chalking up $44.
The kids can fight over them, right?
There you go. You decide that. We'll just give you the tickets.
All right.
Sheila, can you come by the office and pick them up, or what do I need to do with them?
Trying to think. Will I be seeing any of your buds? Where would I be seeing any of your buds yet?
Yeah, it's not ball season, so other than football.
You're
off. Once a week. I said it's not ball season, basketball season, so.
Oh, just take them to. Can you have them at the office, Daphne? Is that right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just take them to the office. I'll get them from her.
All right, I'll have them at the office, and you can get with Daphne on it.
All right.
All right, thank you, Sheila.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sheila deserved that.
She sure does.
Anybody that listens to us as much as she does deserves
absolutely
something.
She deserves
it. While we were on a break, we got about 7 minutes, I said something else was a concern. You were talking about recruiting.
Yeah.
A concern of mine, and granted, this is subject to change, but I don't think it's going to change this much. Auburn right now is in the 28, 29 in recruiting.
Yeah. And for 2016.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And they are accustomed to being in the 6-7 range.
Sure.
So what does that say? If Auburn finishes up 26, 20 through 30.
That's not a good sign.
There's problems on the plane.
That's right. You know, Jason, and we've done it before, and we certainly don't have time, but we could go back and look at those teams, you know, that are in, say, the top 10 and see how their recruiting classes have been for the last 2 or 3 years. That might be something we might want to look at that we might do on Thursday is just do a little research there and see if there's a correlation between the teams that's in the top 10. Was their recruiting classes also you know, anywhere in that ballpark as far as the top 10.
I think it's going to be in there somewhere.
I think it is. So, you know, I don't think it's...
You don't take a mule and win a Kentucky
Derby. Exactly right. So, you know, it all comes down to the talent that you're putting in those uniforms. The coaching part may not isn't probably as difficult as getting the right kids in those uniforms, and then they'll take care of the rest. So, recruiting, as you know, as we probably would certainly agree, it plays a huge factor. So, may try to look at that for Thursday's show if we have some time. Of course, you know, we're always very busy on Thursday because, you know, of all of our guests. So, we might can do that right off the bat.
And then you have the recruiting classes, like apparently Auburn has said,
yeah,
that your stars of the recruiting class don't
pan
out.
That's right. And you're always going to have some of that. You know, you just can't stand having a lot of it.
Right now, Jeremy Johnson, far from panning out. Rock Thomas hasn't panned out.
Yeah. I mean, probably two of the worst positions you can have that doesn't pan out is your quarterback and a running back.
And that's two of our biggest signees over the past years.
Exactly. So. You know, you might get away with a defensive lineman or a linebacker or a wide receiver or something like that. But, boy, when it's your quarterback, you know, your skill people, that makes it much more difficult. But you're right. That is something that will raise your eyebrows is where Auburn sits right now for the recruiting next year's recruiting class.
Right. All right, 5:56. Let's tell everybody real quick. Thursday show, as far as I know, will be as usual.
Yeah.
We will have at 4:20 Chris Andrews, who is going to be coming off a rough week last week.
So, he kind of got his legs strapped.
Yeah,
he
took it
on the chin.
And we'll talk to him about that and what he has for the upcoming week. At around 5:00, Dr. Knowledge Dan Vosta will join us, and I'm sure Dan's going to have a lot to say.
He'll have a lot to say.
One of his beloved went down, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
That's right.
He'll be even bigger on the Georgia bandwagon now.
So. Oh yeah, absolutely. He picked Georgia last year too, didn't he?
Yeah. And then at 5:30, Rex will be on to talk fishing, and then we'll call it a night. Go home, watch a few football
games.
That's
right.
So.
That's exactly right. And get ready for the weekend.
That's right. Can't wait till Saturday to see what Auburn holds in Sean White.
It's going to be very interesting. Hey, what time is that game?
It's a 6 or 6:30
kickoff, night game.
I think. Yeah.
Okay, I think Alabama has the 2:30 game.
Yeah, I'm sure Alabama's a 2:30. No, they shouldn't be on CBS playing Louisiana Monroe.
That's true.
At 2:30, but...
That's right. I'm sorry. I was thinking of them.
I bet we got a Florida-Tennessee game at 2:30.
May very well be.
All right, 5:57, 5:58, it's time to go to the house.
What's up?
Folks, we've lived through the first loss of the season, so we will be back with you Thursday. Until then, a big War Eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide.
We'll see you Thursday, folks. You've been listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman, Alabama.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Loneliness becomes a world that's very cold.